Proverbs 2 and verse 10. We'll read down to the end of the chapter. We find some instructions concerning how wisdom can deliver us. This would be wisdom's deliverance. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 10. The Bible says, "When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger, which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again. Neither take they hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men, and keep the paths of the righteous, for the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it." Now, I want you to know see these words about how wisdom delivers us. Look at verse 11. Discretion, which is another synonym of what he's trying to get across to us through the wisdom of God. Discretion would be a part of that. Discretion shall preserve thee. In other words, you're going to be preserved from all that's ruined, all that will ruin you. Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. And then he says, verse 12, to deliver thee. So the word preserve, the word keep, the word deliver, all these are talking about how we can be kept from the things that harm our lives. And wisdom will keep us from those things that harm our lives if, now watch where we started, verse 10. What's the first word of verse 10? Now, these promises are true when this is true about us. Now, if verse 10 is not true about us, then these truths are not going to apply. These promises are not going to be ours. So verse 10, the Bible, what's the key? When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. In other words, God says, if you can get to the place where wisdom goes in your heart, then you will be kept, you will be preserved, and you will be delivered. If it gets into your heart. Now, wisdom can get between your ears and never get in your heart. And then he says, the last part, when wisdom entereth into thy heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. In other words, this knowledge of God, these things of God, is not just something you're familiar with. It's something that pleases you. It's pleasant to you. How many people know what's right, but they don't like what's right? In other words, what is right, they understand, if I do this, I'm going to get in trouble with God. But their heart is, man, I don't want to do that. It's pleasant to me to live in the path of wisdom and in the path of God's knowledge. When we can come to the place where we're not only doing right, but it pleases us to do right. We all not only know what is right, but those things that we know are right and the truths of God are pleasant to us. How many people have conformed their life to things that God requires, but it was not a life that pleased them? So these promises aren't true about people that are just conforming to a certain lifestyle. And these promises aren't true just about people that know the principles of the wisdom of God. These promises to be delivered by wisdom are only for those who let wisdom enter down into their hearts. Now, it's just like people about the Lord. The Bible says, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see, it's a heart matter. Everything in life is a heart matter. Look at chapter 4. In chapter 4, verse 23. And that's why so much preaching that good churches try to focus on our hearts. Because it doesn't matter what's all in our head if our heart's not with the program. You understand? It's just like a husband or a wife. Your heart's got to be in it. It's like our relationship with Christ. Our heart needs to be in this. Or we're in danger. And it'll be our fault if we're not kept from the dangers, because God just says, if you'll let these things get into your heart, you'll be all right. If what I've said will be pleasing to you, you'll be kept. You'll be preserved. You'll be delivered. In Proverbs chapter 4, he said in verse 23, this is a great verse in the Bible, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Your whole life is going to be determined by what you put your heart on. In another place, in chapter 23, the plea is to the son, in Proverbs 23, verse 26, he says, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. In other words, it's not just Solomon's son doing what he says, it's Solomon's son wanting to do what he says. You see the difference? It's not just me doing what God tells me to do, it's me wanting to do what God tells me to do. It's not just me acknowledging that what God has says is right, but I'm letting that down into my heart and control my opinions and my thoughts. So wisdom's deliverance is based upon whether or not the things of the Lord enter down into my heart and they please me. The Bible says knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. There's a lot of things that please people, but too many times the wisdom of God is not what's pleasant to man. And then he says to deliver. Verse 12. He says that twice. And we're going to find out a little pattern here. Verse 12. To deliver thee. Look at verse 16. To deliver thee. You see that? Now, who is he going to deliver us from? Verse 12. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. Verse 16. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. So this deliverance is going to be from the people that the devil is going to put in our pathway to destroy our lives. It's too bad that Rehoboam did not take these things to heart, because the people that he let in his life were not wise people, were not righteous and upright people, as this text says. It was somebody else. And he wasn't delivered from them. He wasn't delivered from them because he didn't want to be delivered from them. You know why people get involved with the wrong crowd? Because they want to get involved with the wrong crowd. You know, don't make excuses. Don't make excuses. Even if they're your loved ones, your family, your friends, somebody praying about, people get involved with the wrong crowd, not just because they slipped up, because that's what their heart wanted to do. And by the way, before anybody can get right with God, they've got to acknowledge, hey, what I was wanting to do was not right. I was wanting something that God didn't want for me. So it's not just like the big bad wolf comes strolling along and grabs Little Red Riding Hood. What was the end of that story? I don't even know. Did the wolf eat the girl? I don't know what happened to her. But it wasn't just an accident, and she was just minding her own business, and she was the innocent one. And look, if you're taken by the evil man, if you are taken by the strange woman, if your life is influenced by those that are wicked, it will not be an accident. It will be because you wanted your heart to go in that direction. Because the book says, if your heart wanted wisdom, you would be kept from all of that. You would be delivered from all those people. You see? People, you fall the way you lean, and when you're leaning toward not wanting to do right, then you're going to get involved with a bunch of people that don't want to do right. And then that affects your life. And here's the deliverance from it. Now, watch the first one here. Deliverance from this evil man and from his ways. Verse 12. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man. That's from his way. And then he says, from the man. So he's going to deliver you from the evil man and from the way that he goes. You know, you cannot be around evil people and still start going in their ways. You understand? You can learn the way of the evil without going to the bar. You can learn the way of the evil man without ever stepping outside of your house. There's plenty of opportunities to learn evil ways of the wicked without ever being with them. But God says He can not only keep us from the evil man, He can keep us from the way of the evil man. He can keep us from going that route. Now look, let's see. How do we spot this evil man? Verse 12. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. Now what does the word froward mean? Old 1828 dictionary defines froward this way. Unwilling to yield or comply with what's required. Sounds like society. By the way, a great spiritual truth is, when you're willing to yield to God, you're just willing to comply. Okay, Lord, I yield. That means you're not froward. When you're not willing to yield to God, and you know, it doesn't have to just be an invitation or an altar prayer. It's the attitude of our heart. But you ought to practice yielding to God. Because the froward individual never yields themselves to the Lord. They don't comply. Or if they comply, it's only outward. It's not inward. Now back to my definition from 1828. To be froward means unwilling to yield or comply with what's required. Unyielding, ungovernable, disobedient. God says you need to be delivered from those people. People that do not know how to be obedient to God. People that cannot be governed. Now, how can you spot him? Verse 12, from the man that speaketh froward things, the things that come out of his mouth. Look at chapter 4, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 24. We were just talking about that verse on the heart in the previous verse. But Proverbs 4:24, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. So, a mouth that is speaking things that are disobedient, a mouth that is speaking things that are ungovernable. I tell you what, people's mouths today are just out of control. And they start at such a young age. And that's why that's got to be nipped in the bud real, real early. Or you'll raise some person that's froward. He says, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Look at chapter 6. Proverbs 6, an evil person is a person that speaks frowardly. Proverbs 6, verse 12, he said, a naughty person, he's talking about people that will come to poverty, verse 11. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. In other words, you can tell a lot about people by what comes out of their mouth. That's why it's so dangerous to be so close with people that are in a wicked world, because you can tell by what comes out of their mouth what's in their heart. Look at chapter 8. He says, God said, I want to deliver you from those kind of people. They're evil. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, look at it, and the froward mouth do I hate. Look, I don't know anything, for the most part, about what goes on in any of the houses in our church. Okay. But so I can say this, you can't get mad at me because I don't know what you do. You can't blame me for it. If you get mad, it's your fault. But if your family has a diet of what comes across the television set in the United States of America, you're foolish. You're not wise. Because what comes across that television is a froward mouth. They speak about things that people ought not even listen to. I mean, whether it's comedy. Amen. Well, no matter what it is. The froward mouth. God says, I hate that. Now, if we're wise, we'll hate what God hates. And if you're foolish, you'll say, well, that's no big deal. I guarantee you, if you brought our great-grandparents, we who are a little older, if you brought them up from the dead and put them in front of the television set, they'd do more than wash out your mouth with soap. They'd wash your eyes, they'd get the fire hydrant out and say, what's wrong with you people? There's a froward mouth coming into the hearts and the minds and the ears, and God's not pleased with it. And you say, well, you know, it's just what everybody is and what everybody lives to. That's just the way society is now and times have changed. Yeah, they've changed to be froward, and it's not good. And if we want to be delivered, just shut it off. You don't have to participate in that. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. You'd be surprised how the devil has just sowed one little thought from somebody's froward mouth, and he reaps a whole harvest in somebody's life. God says, if you loved wisdom, you wouldn't want to listen to a froward mouth. I mean, even the news, sometimes I get mad, I start talking to the TV. I can't even watch that. The frowardness. And the commercials are just as bad as the soap operas used to be. He says, I hate that froward mouth, and I'm trying to deliver you from that. Well, you're not going to invite them into your life. You're going to be friends with them. Friending people that curse and hate God and are immoral in their lives. What idiocy. God says, I hate that. In chapter 10, he wants to deliver us from the evil man that has a froward mouth. That's the first thing he said. In Proverbs 10, verse 31, look at it. Proverbs 10, 31, still talking about how to spot this evil man. He's got a froward mouth. Proverbs 10, 31, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom. But the froward tongue shall be what? God says, cut that guy's tongue out. How about that? I tell you what, when Jesus Christ gets back here, you say in His kingdom what they're saying on TV and at work and at the store and downtown every day, He's going to say, stick your tongue out. He's going to cut your tongue off. You're not going to speak that way in His kingdom. The froward tongue shall be cut out. Man. And you know, that doesn't bother me because that's not what I use my tongue for. The froward tongue shall be cut out. Look at verse 32. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable. You see that? If you're right with God, you know what you ought to say and what you ought not say. How many of you have said, and I'm not even talking about blasphemies or cursing, but how many of you have just said something and after you said it, I shouldn't have said that. I'm not talking about abject sin. I'm just talking about something, that wasn't right. He said, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. God is seeking to deliver us from the froward. But if we don't have a heart for wisdom, we will not be delivered from the evil man, from the frowardness. Look at Proverbs chapter 2. He uses that word three times in these verses. He says here in verse 12, from the man that speaketh froward things, drop down to verse 14. 14, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked. They delight in it. And then verse, he says, in verse 15, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. So they walk in a froward way. They delight in frowardness. They speak froward things. God says, I will deliver you from these people when wisdom enters into your heart and knowledge is pleasant unto your soul. I'll deliver you from all these people. And by the way, here's what God thinks about the froward man. Look at verse 32 of this same chapter. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 32. For the froward, look at it, is abomination to the Lord. You see that? Sounds like somebody's trying to get warned really good of the dangerous individuals they need to stay away from. How do you spot the evil man? He speaks froward things. What's the second thing about him? Look at verse 13. Proverbs 2:13. Who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Now these froward people are people that knew what was right, but they left it. Look at the verse again, verse 13. Who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. In other words, they were in a place of uprightness, but they left it. They didn't want that. They'd rather have the darkness than have the light. God says you need to be delivered from those people. You know why? Because those are the people that are going to come to you because they used to be in the uprightness like you're in the uprightness, and they'll come to you and they'll try to get you to leave uprightness like they left uprightness. That's what happened. That's what's happening in our society all the time. Been happening for a long time. Oh, I grew up that way, but come on with me. I used to live like that, but come with me. We used to believe that, but come with me. And that hadn't just happened in the last generation. When I was sitting at the university in Bible school, we had a ministerial class of, I don't know, about 40 guys in there. And one of the guys came up to me and said, listen, Logan, all of us used to believe like you believe about the King James Bible, and every one of us have changed, and you'll change too. Just come with us, it'll be all right. In other words, we've left what you have believed and what we've all known all our lives, but we've left that way, and come on, you can leave that way too. That's why today there's a new way to have church. Do you know why they're having a new way to have church? Because a little group of people went to all the people that had normal church. Normal, as in the way we've had church for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. There were no strobe lights and smoke and mist and the pad of the synthesizer and the dark blue lights. And the plex, that there was none of that in 1825. Or 1752. Or 1600. Or 1500. Or 1400. What a thing. For all the years of the church, they missed out on what church should have been like. Until the last 25 years. No, what has happened is a group of people came and said, let's leave this way and go to another way. Let's leave that Bible and we'll give you another Bible. Let's leave these standards of morality and go to a different standard of morality. Let's leave this way we've always worshipped and go to another different way to worship. Let's leave these principles that we've always known are right and wrong, and let's just change all that and have a whole new way of looking at everything in the world. That's the froward, evil man. And God says, I want to deliver you from that guy. And if your heart loves wisdom, you won't be sucked into that mess. Amen. Haven't you ever noticed that it's not the most spiritual people that leave uprightness? It's always those that were on the fringe that get pulled out to leave the paths of uprightness. So, That's another characteristic of him. Let me give you a third one of this evil man that wisdom is going to deliver us from. He says in verse 14, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked. It's not just that they're doing wrong, they are enjoying it. I mean, they are posting the pictures of their nakedness. They are bragging about their cocktail parties and what they had to drink. They're bragging about their New Year's Eve party. They delight in it. They like that lifestyle. Who rejoice to do evil. That's the world we live in. Our world just doesn't like, just like the sin, that they rejoice in their sin. I never thought I'd see a lot of things, but man, can you imagine all these people that are just having a big time smoking dope now? I mean, there's dope smokers everywhere. And they're having a lot of accidents on the road too, if you notice these states that made all that legal there. Oh man, it's not just, you know, yeah, I do a little weed. It's hey, guess what? We got the weed. Let's put it on TV and show everybody and show everybody how stoned we can get. They rejoice to do evil. God says, you better stay away from those people. Because you're supposed to be rejoicing and doing right. See, we rejoice in praising God. We rejoice in studying the Bible. We rejoice in sending missionaries around the world. We rejoice in telling other people about Jesus Christ. We rejoice in our God, and then they laugh at that while they're rejoicing to live their wicked lifestyles. And God says, if your heart will embrace my wisdom, I'll deliver you from those people. You won't want to be over there. You will not be entrapped by them. You will be delivered from them. Look at verse 15. One of the things about this evil man, he speaks forward things. He leaves the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. He rejoices to do evil. Verse 15, whose ways are crooked. God likes things that are straight. The Bible talks about a crooked generation. Deuteronomy 32:5. You know what God called the devil? Isaiah 27:1. That crooked serpent. The Bible said in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, that we walk in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. And you can put that right across the United States as well. We have a crooked society. But you know what's great about God? Jesus said in Luke chapter 3, verse 5, that He can make the crooked ways straight. He didn't say, we'll just get along with the crooked ways. He said, no, I tell you what, if you let me in your life, I'll take all the crooked way and I'll straighten it out. I'm glad God can straighten people out. That little lady over there, that's my mother. I'd get out of line, you know, and she'd say, when your dad gets home, he'll straighten you out. Y'all ever heard that growing up? You know what that meant? That meant my way was crooked. It wasn't straight. God wants it straight. God wants you straight. And He wants to deliver you from who's crooked. And He will deliver you from who's the people that are crooked if His knowledge is pleasant to your soul. But if His knowledge isn't pleasant to your soul, you'll see nothing wrong with the crooked people. That's the society we live in. People that do not let wisdom go down, God's wisdom go down their heart, people whose the knowledge of God is not pleasant to their soul, they think crooked people, it's okay, let's just accept everybody. God says, I want to deliver you from that. And I will, if you'll embrace my wisdom. So not only delivering from the evil man, but let's go down to verse 16. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this deliverance from the strange woman, because if you look over in chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7, we're going to spend a lot of time on this strange woman. You know why? Because God does. God says, if you want my wisdom, we got to talk about some women. Amen. I didn't write it. I mean, when God spends that many chapters talking about somebody you need to be aware of, you better stand up and salute. Yes, sir. I'm listening. God says you need to not only be delivered from the evil man, but you need to be delivered from the strange woman. Verse 16. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger. By the way, let me say this. This type of a woman should be a stranger to we who know Jesus Christ. You understand that? You know, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And it ought to be strange to ever have a strange woman around us. It ought to be strange. You're like, wow, you're a little weird. Instead of, oh, don't say that. Everybody just is the way they are. No, God says, that one's strange. Stay away from that one. Strange to what? Strange to what's right. Strange to godliness. Strange to purity. Stranger to innocency. He says, I'll deliver you from that. What is a young man to do in our society? He's to open up his heart. Let wisdom come down in his heart. Let the knowledge of God be pleasant to him. And God says, I'll keep you from that strange woman. I'll deliver you from her. Wow, how simple. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger, which flattereth with her words. Boy, that's mentioned a bunch. Watch, if you ever, these people that like to alliterate, here's a passage they need to preach. Flattereth with her words, forsaketh the guy of her youth, forgetteth the covenant of her God. There you go, there's your three F points about the strange woman. See that? All flattereth, the first thing we spot her, she flatters. Look at verse chapter 6, verse 24. I'll just point out a couple of them. I'm not going to preach all this stuff on the strange woman. We'll be there long enough when we get there. Proverbs 6, 24. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the... Oh, can you even say that today? That's an evil woman. Wow, that sounds misogynistic. Well, that's what he thought about her. She's an evil woman. There are evil women out there. Just like our verse started, the evil man, there's evil men, there's evil women. All the genders are involved. All two of them. So he says, verse 24, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Chapter 7, verse 5. That they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. 7:21. With her much fair speech she caused him to yield. With the flattery of her lips she forced him. You see the warning? Do you know in Daniel chapter 11, if you did a study of the Antichrist and you start around verse 21 and you read down about verse 34, you know what you find out about the Antichrist, which we're going to be really ushered into the last days? I believe the church is going to go out. That Antichrist is going to be revealed. It ain't going to be long. I don't believe. You know what the Bible says about that Antichrist? He'll come and obtain the kingdom by flatteries, by the way he speaks. You know what I've noticed? If somebody speaks well, they can get elected when nobody even believes what they believe in. People go to church, they don't even know what the preacher's talking about. But if he speaks very well, they love it. I tested some of them years ago. I don't do now because I just don't have time for it. But I tested them. They come out of these big churches. I said, how was church? Oh, it was great. And I knew the guy's a heretic. He didn't. I said, what'd you get out of the Bible? What did he preach about? You know, I don't know what he preached about, but it was great. You don't have an idea what the message was about, but oh, it was beautiful. You know what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians? He said, neither at any time used we flattering words. You ought to think about that. The greatest missionary there lived said, I tell you what I didn't do. I didn't flatter any one of you. I didn't do it nary a time. That's what they say. I didn't do it one time. Neither at any time used we flattering words. God forbid that the church house ever had to be a political place. Now, I try to be nice to people, but I don't do well at flattery. I try to do it sometimes and I goof it up. So I just say, hey. Well, you'd be surprised of how many places Christianity is just working people with flattery. That's what a lot of the speaking today is. It's just flattery from a pulpit. Well, they'll never... People don't come in here and go out and say, I tell you what, that preacher flatters people too much. But Paul said, I never flattered you anytime. Think about that. If you're after flattery, you need to go to the political arena. Don't go to God. God doesn't flatter people. He just tells you the truth about yourself. He loves you. He's not ugly. He's not arrogant with you, but he says, this is your problem. He didn't say, well, you know, son, you're the best Christian we got. I tell you what, you don't have a problem in this world. If anybody was like you, no, he'd come to you and say, you know, your teeth are crooked and your hair is out of place. He'd just tell the truth about you. You know what this world wants? Listen now. This world wants flattery. You know what God says the world needs? They need His wisdom. You know what that is? That's truth. And listen, watch this now. A world that wants flattery is going to quickly give in to a strange woman. And that's why our society is an adulterous society and an immoral society, because somebody didn't take heed to wisdom and didn't embrace wisdom of God, but they embraced the flattering words. It said the second thing about her in verse 17, which forsaketh the guide of her youth. What is that? Turn to Jeremiah 3 real quick. Three things about this strange woman is all I'm going to give in this text about her. She flattereth with her words. She forsaketh the guide of her youth. What does that mean? She forsaketh the guide of her youth. In Jeremiah chapter 3, you have harlotry mentioned, which is the direct context of a strange woman. And the Bible said, and that's in verse 1, 2, and 3. But in Jeremiah 3, 4, in verse 4 it says, wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my father, thou art the guide of my youth. You see that? What's the guide of someone's youth? It's their father. Now, in that context, it's God. God the Father. He's saying that this strange woman, you know what she won't? She will not let her father guide her. I want to make a little note of that. The strange woman will not let her father be her guide. Neither her physical father or God the Father. So what's safety for a young woman? If you don't want to be a strange woman, you better let God guide you and you better let your parents guide you. Amen, amen. Which forsaketh the guide of her youth. Well, that was Dad. Yeah, and you're a harlot. And forgetteth the covenant of her God. So the third thing about her is she wants nothing to do with God's book. She don't want anything to do with God's covenant. God's testimony, God's precepts, God's law, God's words. She forgets about it. She doesn't want anything to do. God says, that's that strange woman. Now, if you're around somebody that wants nothing to do with the Bible, that wants nothing to do with their parents, and is drawn to flattering words, you need to stay away from them like the black plague. And God will deliver you from them. You'll know to get away from them if you give your heart unto wisdom. Because what's the end of this woman, verse 18. For her house inclineth unto death. He's going to say that in other chapters we'll get to. And her paths unto the dead. She's just around dead people. And people that come from her are going to have things dying in their lives. Verse 19. None that go unto her return again. In other words, anybody that goes into a strange woman, they never come back the same. They never come back the same. Something is lost forever. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. He says, but I will deliver you from this woman if your heart, when your heart, will take that wisdom down inside, and when knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. And this is what this deliverance We'll continue verse 20. I'm finishing. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth and the transgressors shall be rooted out of. God says this, I will deliver you from the evil. Wisdom will deliver you from the evil man. Wisdom will deliver you from the strange woman. Wisdom will deliver you from the wicked and from the transgressors. And verse 20 and 21, wisdom will lead you to the way of good men, to the paths of the righteous and to the upright and to the perfect. In other words, this is what God said. God is not just going to deliver you from bad people. Wisdom is not just going to deliver you from the wicked people. Wisdom is going to bring you together with righteous people and upright people and perfect people. The blessing is, while it delivers you, it brings you into fellowship with such wonderful people. And one of the worst things about somebody that does not get delivered from the wicked is they miss out on the best people in the world that God wanted to put in their life. God had a David for Jonathan and a Jonathan for David, you see. God had an Aquila and Priscilla for Paul and a Paul for a Timothy and a Titus. And God had a wonderful family He was going to weave together of good men and upright people. It wasn't, well, I'm just missing out on... No, God says, I'm going to bring you... If you'll let wisdom come down to your heart, you will be delivered from them and be brought into the company of the perfect and the upright. And God will give you some real people that will bless your life. Wisdom's deliverance.